I speak these words in the name of uncreated, radiant light, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Perhaps just a few words of introduction. Giovanni, or Giovanni Di Vincenzo, or just Gio. I'm from Toronto, but I came out west many decades ago. As I'm now about to be almost 65, I spent way more time in the West than where I grew up in Toronto. I come by your church almost every day. I work at the hospice just up the road, at Dulcina Hospice, St. Marguerite's Manor. And I've been there 8 years since we opened there. My last parish was the Highwood in the High River area back in 2006, I believe I started there. But my very first parish was in Melfort, Saskatchewan. So I moved from Toronto to Melfort. And one of the beautiful things about Melfort was the night sky in the winter. I was driving back from Saskatoon, I believe, back to Melfort one very frigid night. And I noticed something strange that night in the sky. So I pulled off the highway, and I couldn't believe, it is the land of northern lights. But this time, it was so awesome, so beautiful, I felt so scared. I was terrified. It was like these swirls of light circling and circling almost to a point in the center, and it was like I was looking at the center of creation, at the face of God, the beauty, the awesomeness, and my finiteness in that prairie field. I felt infinitely small in this full grandeur of beauty, and it was a very sacred, holy moment of recognizing a great story here that held me as well. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, the Lord Jesus. This is the great story, the great gift that holds mine and our story, and it's all gift. It's all gift. And sometimes that gift is just presented to us freely, and is right there before us. And I see that at the hospice every day. It's like the story of the shepherds and they were just working, doing their ordinary routine, like they did with the sheep, as a company of shepherds, and this angelic host, the heavens open up, they have this revelation of the birth of the Christ child. And all they got to do is walk over the hill, down the hill, and find the manger. And it's there. And sometimes the gift of grace is like that. We're not asking for anything. We're just doing our job or maybe our daily struggles, and there's a revelation of gift. At the hospice, I remember one time this middle-aged man, the son, was visiting his father at the hospice, and I can see all the stress on his forehead, the tension in his shoulders. And as he's walking down, we have two wings there of 26 rooms together. He's walking down, I can see him slowing down, then he leans up against the wall adjacent to this door where I believe it was a Mennonite family there, and they all pulled out their iPhones and they had their hymns and they were singing. This beautiful music was just flowing out of this room. He didn't know who they were, although I did, being the chaplain there. Forgot. Oh, I'm the chaplain at the hospice. So this family's gathered around singing. There's these beautiful hymns. And I can just see all the stress, all the anxiety, all the tension just dissipate as he softens surrounded by this grace, by this, these promises of God, these familiar hymns that he knew so well, that he probably sang with his father when he was a child, and all these stories, I'm sure, came to him as gift. He did not know, as he's walking down that hallway, the gift that would surround him. And I see that often at the hospice. And I share this as reflection with the shepherds that we heard last in our Christmas stories last week, of how God so loved the world that he gave, and God continues to give, and sometimes it's just there. We don't have, it's just there. And we are so grateful when that happens. In another room, there was a younger man as well, and he had accomplished all his goals. He's written his children's book, he had it illustrated, he finished his garage, his house, and he didn't know why the Lord still wasn't taking him, and he couldn't really communicate very well, talk, because he had lost a lot of energy. And I said, I don't know why either. And I just being with him, when all of a sudden his 7-year-old son really just bursts into the room, flying like an airplane. You know, he's just zooming around, then he's about to sit down on the chair, nope, then he gets up again, and then he makes this beautiful landing on Daddy's arm. And I can see Daddy, the resident, just softening in that love. Again, yes, there's distress, yes, there's loss, there's grief, there's anxiety, there's all these things, and yet grace and love and peace comes flying through the door and nestles in. And I just, as I witnessed that, I just witnessed it. We witness miracles every day. We can't create miracles, but we can witness them. And we're always surrounded, and things are given to us. And I just quietly, softly left the room. And I hold those memories and many of like that, that are part of God's indescribable gift, the Lord Jesus, the great story, the great gift. And often, they're just given to us. And then we have the Magi. They have to work hard. They have to work hard. They have to study. They have to take risks. They have to leave home. They go on a long journey. They come to a dead end almost in Jerusalem. They still don't know. They ask questions. I mean, it's a long haul. And faith is like that as well. We have to come prepared. We have to study. These Magi were probably from Babylon, or at least they were influenced by the Jewish community in Babylon that were there 500 years in the Babylonian exile. Many of the Jews went back to Judea, but many stayed. And these Jews in Babylon influenced the astrology, the theology, the scientific understanding of the creation, the world. And so when these Magi, these scientists, they understood the night sky, but it was also filled with spiritual significance, just like the poinsettia is filled with symbolism and significance. When they looked at the night sky, it was filled with theology, influenced by this Jewish community in Babylon. And for the first time, I believe, in 900 years, Jupiter and Saturn, there are many theories of the brightness of the star. But one was, I believe, Saturn and Jupiter aligning, and the brilliance of that in the area of Pisces, the fish, which represented Israel. I mean, there were a lot of things happening with their understanding of the night sky and with their with the Jewish theology and scriptural influence, that a new king of the Jews has is about to be born or has been born. And then they have to leave. They leave their homes, they go on. And when can they travel? Only at night. They don't have a road map. They follow this the brightness of the star. And often it is like that. We don't have a road map for the struggles or the calling or the initiative that we take. But we have each other. We're in a caravan. Every September 30th, we celebrate and honor Orange Shirt Day at the hospice. and it's a struggle to understand what has happened in our country. It's an understanding, it's a road of reconciliation, the land acknowledgments that we have, as we have at the hospice when we have medical rounds, I lead the land acknowledgement there. But like the Magi, this is a journey, and we don't have a roadmap. And even the history of this country, as I was listening about how the railroad came together and how the Chinese community helped build this country. And there's a whole story there, like in many ways, I guess, again, of loss and vulnerability. There are many stories that we don't understand, even who we are as Canadians, as Christians in this country. And like the Magi, there isn't a roadmap. We travel in the night sometimes, it seems, and yet there is a star. There is a light that shines. And even then, like the Magi, we come to Jerusalem. Okay, we've arrived. So where is this king? We still don't know, but being kings, they go naturally to another king. They go to King Herod, a palace. And I could imagine going to the palace. Oh man, we're finally back at home out of those darn tents in the desert. We're back in this beautiful palace. That we understand, you know, nice, clean sheets and food, and the temptation is to take a break, you know. But they persevere. They've studied. They are gathered now with the scribes and the clergy of the day. Understand, you know. So where is this king? Where, you know, this is where, and I've always been amazed that those who knew the scriptures of to be born in Bethlehem, why didn't they go? But the Magi persist, and they go, and they come prepared. Because as kings, they bring gifts appropriate for another king. So they've done their work, they've done their study, they've traveled through the night, they follow the star, they don't have a roadmap, they have big questions. As we do, God, where are you? We've come, we've searched, and we still don't understand. And then when they see the Christ child, there is a sense of completion. There's a fullness of joy. And this sense of completion is something remarkable. I lead the medical rounds at the hospice. The doctors are there, the nurse, the social worker, volunteer coordinator. And we acknowledge all the residents the previous week that have died, who have been with us. And I begin with a quote about, we die not because we are ill, but because we are complete. Illness is the occasion of our dying, but not the cause. And so we die when we are complete. And so there's a sense of completion that I see at the hospice often, when Someone is waiting for their brother to arrive, or their sister, or their grandchild. They're looking, they're waiting, and even if they can't talk or speak or eat or drink anymore, they're still waiting. And even after they stopped eating and drinking for weeks, their loved one has arrived. I've had this one this experience often where, well, they've asked for the angling priest in this one particular case, pastor, and I said to the person, she was in ICU, that your granddaughter has just arrived, and your sister and your brother are all here, and then we had our end of life prayers using the Book of Common Prayer and some other prayers that I've strung together, and then the person dies, like maybe 10 minutes later. There's a sense of completion. And I share that because we are all always called to be complete at all times, in all places. We ought to give thanks to the Lord in our communion prayer. And there's a sense of completion when we are with our loved ones, when there's a smile, when there's a hug, or when we're saying goodbye, when we say goodbye to our loved ones. And even when the Magi come to give their gifts also acknowledge the death of the king in their gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so the Magi have this sense of completion. Their journey is complete. And that is a blessing to have when you come to this country from another as immigrants or as refugees, as my family has, many of your families have. When we come to this country, there is a sense of completion for our children and our grandchildren. And I see that at the hospice every day, every day. And the thing about the Magi also, God, they followed this light, the star. So how are they going to get home now? How are they going to get home? Are they going to go back to Herod and report back to him as he had requested? And as they said, yeah, we'll let you know so you can come and worship the child too, the newborn king. But God warns them in a dream to go home by another route. And now they have this light shining within them. And this is our story as well. Christ is our morning star rising in our hearts. That talks about his second coming when we will see him face to face. I have a discipline of prayer, and the earliest prayer of the church is Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And the desert Abbas and Ammas, they took that prayer, Maranatha, and they placed it in their heart. It was a continual calling upon the name of the Lord. Maranatha. And for decades now, it's the Jesus Prayer. Many of you have heard about the Jesus Prayer. It's like Bartimaeus continually crying out to the Lord, like the 10 lepers continually crying out, Lord, have mercy. And so I have persisted, like if I can use the Magi, over the long haul, not every day, but consistently. And this is one part of my own Christian journey, my own walk with the Lord, that has meant the most to me. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, the Lord Jesus. And this is the gift, the light of Christ, that shines in our hearts internally. We have the light that shines upon our lives as well, the face of God shining upon us all. But we would do well to pay attention, I believe, says Paul or Peter, to pay attention to this light within us, shining and rising like the morning star. And that is Jesus. And so, in the night, in the dark, in the silence, in the stillness, Ma, Ra, Na, Tha. I actually listen to my heartbeat. need to become very quiet and still. And yes, and the anxiety and the stress and the worries come, but then you let them go. There's like dying to self. You let those go. I return to the prayer. It's the prayer of the church. It's the prayer over the centuries. It's the prayer of the church. I'm joining with the prayer of many others. And we call upon the name of the Lord. Ma, Ra, Na, Tha. And there's Father John Main who taught this prayer. I never understood what he meant. He said, listen to the harmonic of the prayer in your heart. And somehow in the stillness and the silence, there is a mystery, a sound. For the Benedictine way, it's the word is listen. Just like the beginning of the parables, when Jesus says, listen to those who have ears, let them hear. And this is all have to do with the Magi in their dream, having this internal light, because we all have this eternal light, but it gets clouded over with everything that makes us run and get busy. All of these are good things, but we need to have a discipline going, if I can encourage us and myself, going into the new year to find a place where you can pray, like the Magi, in the quiet, in the dark. I mean by dark, I mean the silence of the senses and the silencing of our thoughts and descending into a quiet place where it's like the desert. There are no distractions, no noise, no restaurants, no Starbucks, no iPhones. It's just quiet. Find a quiet place because God is speaking to us, heartbeat by heartbeat, breath by breath. He is pouring into us, into our hearts, the love of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And this is the indescribable gift. All creation, our hearts will expand rather than constrict. Like that young man walking down the hallway with the distress on his forehead, with the tension, he hears the music. He hears the hymns coming out of that room, and he leans against the wall, and he just softens into that. The angels are still singing, glory to God in the highest, and peace upon those whom God favors. And God favors us with the giving of his Son. And going into this new year, we don't know what that would bring, but we do know that Christ shines within us. This is the indescribable gift. It's about expansion of heart, of spirit, but it's being like the Magi. We persevere over the long haul. Don't know how many years they were on the road. Could have been a couple of years. As you know, after the Magi left, Herod did not take that too well, and he went into Bethlehem and killed all the boys 2 years old. So the Magi may have been on the road for a year or more, or two. This is the long haul of faith. I'm now about to turn 65. The years go by fast. This is another new year. I remember many, when I first was ordained, my retirement year is 2023. That's a long time from now. It happens fast. By faith also happens moment by moment by moment, like the Magi, over the long haul. We still have our questions. We still don't have a roadmap. And yet we know that there's a light that shines. And the light of Christ will lead you and your families, and you will find treasures unknown, untold, and mysteries that will, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, a way opens up for us of ultimate truth and ultimate life. And we are no longer afraid. And there is joy. This is the indescribable gift, says Paul. This is the great story, the great gift that holds my story, your story, your ancestors, generations to come. Moment by moment, though, heartbeat by heartbeat, breath by breath, we cry out unto the Lord, and the Lord, who is Jesus, the Christ, given to us, will be our soon and coming judge, and we will see him face to face. But it's right here, right now, when you call upon his name, there is a star, the morning star, rising in our hearts. I share these words in the name of uncreated, radiant light, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.